Welcome to the GRF On The Go podcast. The subject matter experts at GRF CPAs and Advisors created this podcast to offer insights on current topics, as well as new ideas and best practices that your team can apply today. This podcast was originally presented as a live webinar. CPE information provided during the podcast is no longer valid, but if you're interested in watching the video version of this session or accessing the slide deck, visit our website at grfcpa.com/events. Enjoy the episode and remember to subscribe for future content.
All right. Hello. I want to welcome everyone participating in today's webinar, Illustrating Your Nonprofit Story with Dynamic Dashboards. My name is Akia Ward, and I'm a manager in the Outsourced Accounting and Advisory Services Department here at GRF. Today, I am joined by Eleanor Litwack, who is a partner in our OAAS department. Eleanor and I have a wealth of experience and knowledge in utilizing audit reporting tools and dashboards, so we have a lot of exciting content to share with you today. All right, who are we? We are GRF CPAs and Advisors based out of Bethesda, Maryland, serving clients in the DMV as well as nationally and internationally. Our firm serves a wide range of clients covering not-for-profit, for-profit, schools, government contractors, and many others. However, our particular niche is within the NFP INGO space. We've been in operation for several decades, and in 2021, we actually celebrated our 40-year anniversary and are looking forward to the next big milestone year. All right, so we'll be discussing a lot of things today. You'll see our agenda. We'll talk about the benefits of data visualization, how to understand your audience, the elements that make up a dashboard, and then tie everything together with practical examples and takeaways. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and launch our first polling question to get things kicked off today. So what is your role in your organization? Are you at the C-suite level, CEO or executive director? Are you in finance, operations, outside consultant or accounting, which is where I am, or other?
Make sure to answer these if you want CPE credit.
Absolutely. And we are getting an overwhelming response here from people in the finance role. 63%.
We're in good company.
Yeah, absolutely. All righty. So we're keeping that open for just a few seconds.
Right. So the results are here. So most of you are finance folks, and then we got some outsourced accountants, and then operations, executive directors, and a mix of some others. So welcome and thanks for joining us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Before we dive into the actual data visualization techniques and dashboards, we thought we'd talk about how far we've come. So what are we doing now for reports? Those of you that aren't dashboarding yet, and what have we been doing over the past couple years in finance? You might recognize the font and format of the report on the screen if you use QuickBooks Online. This is a condensed profit and loss exported to Excel, and some of you probably are reporting this way. So there are some good things about it. If you're a numbers person, like I can look at this and get many takeaways because I do like reports in this format. Others will look at it and be completely confused. Also, those of you that are using QuickBooks or any other system know that the one on screen is pretty condensed. Usually this is a lot longer and has many tabs. But a numbers person like me can look at this and say, okay, this organization has primarily made up of grant revenue. That's where most of their funding comes from. They also look like a grant giving organization. So like most other nonprofits, salary and benefits is their biggest cost, but closely after is grant expense. They've got quite a bit of corporate giving. So let's say they have about $1 million there according to this. I could see they're operating at a deficit. So the income in this period is 6 million, the expenses are 7 million. There's $1 million deficit. And obviously that raises a question. Do they have cash from a prior period, like carryover? Are they funding the deficit some other way? Maybe it's just an accrual basis deficit where these things haven't gone out yet. So as you could see, I could use this report for analysis and some insight, but it does raise a lot of questions. So what are the challenges here? Number one, the data is static. Let's say I'm a board member. You sent this to me in Excel. I can't double click. I can't see. I can't get further context if you didn't provide like a narrative or something else. Even if I'm an executive director or a COO getting reports this way, if I'm getting them in Excel, I can't look into the numbers without asking someone in accounting for more context. So it's these circular communication loops. Also, if you pull them out into Excel, and we all know very well, and then something changes, it has a ripple effect. We have to go back and change everything, especially if you've made like special formatting edits or anything else that you did manually in Excel. Once something changes and you have to re-export it, you're back to square one. So it's a big time suck. You can't drill down. It focuses on the past. So this is reporting on yesterday's news, not necessarily where the organization is headed, and so on and so forth. So these are some of the challenges and why we want to encourage you to think about visualizing data, and we'll show you different levels of it. You could do the gold standard where you have dynamic dashboards where everything is clickable and very pretty and it's showing projections, or you could take it in smaller steps because we know not everyone can reach that gold standard right away. So getting into some of the benefits here, when you're visualizing data, you're showing it in different formats. Some of it could still be numbers. You'll have multiple pictures and charts. You'll have words. But the point is that it's making complex data easier to understand because not everybody could read numbers on a screen, believe it or not. I know we're finance people, most of us can, but you know when you send those reports out, you get tons of questions or people that don't even read them because it's overwhelming. So when you have a data visualization tool, you're making it easier to understand. You also have the ability to cater the visuals and the metrics towards the audience that's looking at them. So not everybody should get the same set of reports. It depends on their role within the organization. Are they external stakeholders? Are they department heads? We'll definitely get into that. Faster and better decision making. This is more the gold standard. So if you have dashboards with lots of data that's showing both past and future and projections and tying the whole story together, you could be in a position where somebody can go in, use their dashboard, and make a very healthy, responsible decision just based on what they see there, whether it's a hiring decision or a decision to reallocate certain costs. Like if they saved on travel, maybe they could spend more on program supplies and they don't have to go through a whole circular loop to figure out where they are with their budget. It enables collaboration and transparency. Particularly with board members, we always want them to feel like they're not just getting reports to check a box. They're actually getting reports in a format that they can understand and they could gain comfort in what's actually going on in the organization. And so that's sort of a way to achieve transparency when you're showing them everything that applies to them and what they would care about. One flag also that when you have meaningful reviews of the numbers, issues and errors can be caught throughout the year or throughout the month. Akia and I work with a lot of nonprofits. We're outsourced accountants, so we run the accounting department for many nonprofits. And what we believe in is just being audit ready throughout the whole year. What does that do? It means the numbers are actually in good shape. And when you get to audit time, it's not this like miserable burden. It's actually super fun. But when you have folks that are getting reports in the right format, that means that they can flag certain things when they get them or when they're pulling them. So whether it's weekly or monthly, they could flag like misclassifications, anything that's tagged to the wrong grant or department right there. And then you fix it and you don't have to deal with it during audit time or scrambling when you're trying to run that grant report. So that's another huge benefit. As accountants, like, we do a lot to close down the month and reconcile and make sure everything is audit ready, but we can't necessarily catch like miscodings among departments or things like that. That's more on the program folks and the internal folks. So giving them data in this way really helps with that. And storytelling, we will talk about that later on in the presentation. So what you see here is a revenue breakdown just in a pie chart. This is not a fancy tool. It's a pie chart that was made in Excel, but it's showing the same data from here, the revenue breakdown with a picture. And you'd be surprised how many people have an easier time digesting the pie chart, no pun intended, just by looking at it with these colors and visuals. Oh, grant revenue is 66%. Individual contributions, we got 100,000, but that's a small slice, it's 2%. So they're able to look at it just in a way that caters to their eye and makes them understand it better. What are the challenges? You'll see that some of this may actually require not just your time, but an investment in technology. So we want to keep that in mind. If you are using dynamic dashboards where things are clickable and people are accessing them in real time, that's very much reliant on the underlying data being in good shape. If you have accounting cycle issues where your numbers aren't clean and you're constantly chasing errors, and then you have people going into dashboards, those are not useful dashboards. Those might be showing information that is not that great. So we want to be careful with having a tool, but not having the underlying data in good shape, because that could be detrimental. And then system integration, that's, you know, the case for building any like beautiful accounting cycle and enterprise system for a nonprofit. We want everything to be integrated, but particularly for dashboards, if you have folks accessing them in real time, you're going to need integrated systems. There's no human that you can hire that's going to enter around the clock transactions. It's just not going to be actually real time unless the technology is all tied together. And Akia, I feel like we're doing a lot of Excel bashing here, and I feel guilty about it.
Well, you of all people know how I feel about Excel, and I'm actually convinced that no one loves Excel more than accountants, maybe data analysts, but most assuredly myself. I love Excel. It has been the go-to tool for professionals across industries, with its ability to be able to handle simple arithmetic calculations to like complex financial models. It has a robust array of formulas, functions, and features. And Excel has actually empowered users to manipulate and analyze data with unparalleled flexibility and precision. Some of my favorite features of Excel include pivot tables, data validation, and the goal seek function. That is, goal seek is it for me. And I'm sure a lot of us on this webinar have spent countless hours over the course of our lives navigating the collapsed and hidden cells and rows of Excel, and ensuring that our data is presented in the most aesthetically pleasing way with all of the formatting available on the platform. But even with all of that functionality, this powerhouse of a software has to offer, the landscape of data analysis continues to evolve, and it demands more real-time data and dynamic visualization to drive insights beyond the capability of a traditional spreadsheet. We'll never forget the legacy of Excel and its excellence in getting us to where we are now, which is embracing the onward march towards dynamic dashboarding and the future of data visualization. And to get to that point of starting data visualization, we need to first understand who our audience is. So on this webinar that we have, a lot of you all, 63% to be exact, are in finance, but we do have smaller percentages in the other groups like CEO, executive, director, accounting, things of that nature. So this information is super helpful because it helps us understand who the audience is. So on this slide here, you'll see learning styles, because everybody learns differently. As Eleanor mentioned earlier, we're able to see a report from QuickBooks of information and see that same information in a pie chart format. And some people are going to find one of those two methods more preferable. So that's what a learning style is. It's just a preferred method of learning and processing information. And why does that matter? As a presenter of financial information, understanding how my clients and colleagues prefer to take in their information is helpful in that it allows me to tailor my approach to their preference so they can walk away from the meeting understanding what was said in the meeting and understanding the health of their business if it's a client that I'm talking to and how they can use that information for decision making. So taking a look at these learning styles here, and there are a lot of learning styles that you may find online, but I've condensed it down to these four main ones. So starting with the visual learner, they prefer to learn through visual aids such as charts, graphs, diagrams, videos, and they tend to remember information when it's presented visually. They also benefit from color coding, mind maps, and other visual organization techniques. So presenting information to a visual learner, you want to use those colorful charts and graphs to represent the financial data, which is what you would find in a dashboard. You can incorporate infographics to summarize key points. This is similar to a scorecard where you would put something like a KPI on. And you can utilize slides with visually appealing design elements. This is so big for me as I prefer information that is aesthetically pleasing. Also for the visual learner, you'd be able to provide them handouts or online resources with visual representations of the data. And having access to the dashboard and accounting software is really good for a visual person as well, because they'll be able to look at the information that's more important to them. Our next learning style is auditory learners. So they, as the name would suggest, they learn best through listening and verbal explanations of things. So they benefit from discussion, lectures, audio recordings, and they prefer explanations and descriptions over anything that is written. So how do you present to an auditory learner? This is where a financial narrative would come in. So not just providing the financial statements by themselves, but providing the story. So presenting this, you can actually read off your narrative, encourage interaction and discussion, Q&A sessions, things of that nature, and highlighting key points of data in your spoken narrative. Our kinesthetic learners are next here, and they learn actually through hands-on experiences and physical activities. They prefer to engage in activity stimulations and role-playing. They benefit from practical demonstration and experiments. So presenting to a kinesthetic learner, you want to incorporate interactive exercises and simulations to demonstrate the financial concepts that you're trying to share with them, which can be done through or via dashboard filtering. You want to encourage participation for them as well through collaborative problem solving or analyzing decisions that rely on the financial information, because this actually helps keep their attention. You can also, if you have, use tangible props or physical representations to illustrate financial ideas that might be a little bit complex. And our last learning style here, reading and writing learners, they prefer, again, as the name suggests, to learn through reading and writing, note-taking, and textual materials. They tend to remember information better when they write it down, and they benefit from written instruction, textbooks, written assignments, things of that nature. So presenting to them, this leads me back to the financial narrative that I mentioned earlier with the auditory learners, how you can read off the narrative to them, but for a reading and writing learner, you can just simply provide them this written narrative that will have a summary of the concise financial data, key points and recommendations, things of that nature. And you can follow up your presentation with written communications as well, such as like an email that summarizes the key takeaways for a reading and writing learner. So the takeaway here is to know your audience. Dashboards and financial narratives can work for a myriad of learners. We just have to be sure to emphasize the appropriate aspects of each to tailor our approach to our clients for their benefit. And with that, we're going to get another polling question launched here. An excellent question. What type of learner are you? Are you visual, auditory, kinesthetic, reading, writing? And this is a good here, E, it's a mix because you can be a mixture of a lot of these, and F for not being sure.
I'm definitely a mixture. I think I'm a mixture of A and C, visual and kinesthetic. I definitely like doing, especially when it's learning new technology, like once you use it, you're like, okay, I got it. Whereas just watching a demo is really hard to grasp.
Yeah, I'm the same. Definitely visual because it has to be beautiful. Otherwise, it's not going to work for me. And definitely kinesthetic as well because I like to be hands-on. It's funny, Eleanor, we've learned something new today. We have the same learning styles.
Well, thank you all for answering the poll. All right.
52% mix.
Yep. Wow. And lots of visual learners too. So hopefully our slide deck from today will be helpful for those visual learners. So yeah, and obviously when you're creating dashboards for people, you don't always know what their learning style is. You're welcome to ask, but you'll see that's why it's about mixing up the components and making it an array of visual versus written. So just knowing that there are different learning styles is important because not everybody grasps information the same way you do. So how do we determine what the components are in a dashboard? Before we talk about that, we have to, again, remind you about the underlying data. If the numbers behind the dashboards are not clean, you're going to run into bigger problems. So yes, you want to visualize data and get it in a nice format that everyone can understand, but it's not only about the format and the tool that you're using, it's for sure also about the numbers. So make sure to remember about that underlying data. You might even have a situation where your data is fine on a summarized level, like let's say all your income is in, but it's not necessarily categorized correctly and you need to get back with development and break out foundation versus corporation versus program revenue. In that case, maybe your dashboards would only report on revenue as a whole, just so that you're not misleading the reader when they see, oh, foundation was 50%, but later you're going to go and tweak it. So just make sure that your dashboards are representing the data that you're comfortable with, even if that means scaling them back until you can get your accounting cycle to capture the data accurately so that your dashboards are accurate and robust and giving all the detail that your readers need. But beyond the data, how do you know what components should be in there? You're going to choose the metrics depending on who your readers are. So it's not about creating one financial dashboard that works for everyone. You're going to have different ones depending on who the audience is, whether it's the executive director, a board member, a treasurer, a COO. So you're choosing the metrics based on what the user cares about. Also working with your audience, and Akia and I do this all the time where we create a dashboard where the finance professionals and we say, here's your dashboard, here's what you should look at. But then the user comes back with some input where, you know what, I keep wanting to double click and see what I spent on this vendor particularly. Is there any way you could just put it on dashboard? Absolutely. Anything that is reasonable and doable and able to help us work together with the user, we make tweaks to cater towards what they care about and try to just lessen the manual back and forth that's required when the things on the dashboard are not there in the right way or they're missing detail that the user needs to see. So working with your audience is important. If it's a board member, maybe you're not going to have them demand what they want to see. But again, you could take it into consideration in terms of what would be useful to them. So it's accommodating both the data that they, the metrics that they want to see, and also the format. Maybe they don't like charts at all and they just want to see numbers. That's fine. We're not saying you have to have a pie chart. Financial and non-financial data. This one's a beauty, and we'll talk more about that later. It's also probably the hardest to achieve, but it's wonderful when you do, and it really brings that storytelling together. So I'll show you examples of that in a few minutes. Allowing for drill down capability. This depends on the tool that you're using. So most dashboarding tools that layer on top of your accounting system, the user has the dashboard, but they could actually go ahead and hover on certain numbers and see like it pops out more detail, or they could click on it and drill down, again, eliminating the need for them to ask accounting, what's in the office supply number? So drill down capability is just more of a great self-service feature that lets people interact with the dashboards, and using various formats, which I'll show you as well. So in terms of customizing the metrics for the different user groups, when you're creating the dashboard, you want to know who's the user and basically what do they care about. If you're creating it for an executive director, depending on the organization, they're probably more big picture people, but really it all depends. Some of them are very detailed. Sometimes they only care about cash, but what are you going to show them? It's probably more about your fundraising gaps, projections for this year and next year, budget versus actuals, and things that are more big picture from an eagle eye view, and looking forward. A COO might have a different viewpoint where they want to see, you know, facilities in detail or vendor breakdowns, budget versus actual variances on a detail level. So their dashboard might look a little different. Board member dashboard, probably similar to that executive director one, but they're looking ahead at longer term forecasts. Certainly, they also want to see the history of what happened and where are we headed. They're looking at outcomes, fundraising gaps, if your board is involved with fundraising, and so on and so forth. Program managers, this is a group that is often forgotten, and I hope that everybody creates dashboards for them too. They are the boots on the ground. They're running the programs. They actually have to stick to grant budgets, and sometimes they have no data to turn to until it's grant report time and you give them their ledger of what they've spent. And it's totally wacky and you're trying to reallocate things and moving it between restricted and unrestricted because the grant, it wasn't supposed to be charged to the grant, whatever that is. I think if we were in the room together now, I'd probably see a lot of head nods because I can't tell you how many like nonprofit program managers we talk to that are either they're keeping their own records, like they have an Excel sheet where they're just putting in every expense that they approved, and because they just do it themselves so that they can always track their budgets, or they don't have any view into it. So they're spending and they're always asking accounting, and it's always lagging behind, and they have a frustration with not being able to see their budgets versus actuals. So don't forget about them when you're dashboarding, to be able to give them their view of what did I spend on my grant, how much is left, allowing them to manage it properly and then focus on actually doing the work and not trying to build budgets and make up actuals to understand what the difference is between what they have and what accounting has. All of that is an unfortunate waste of time for talented program managers. So I want to advocate for this group. In terms of mixing up the components, so you're not going to have all pie charts or all bar graphs or all trend lines. It depends what you're trying to show and what type of chart makes sense. And also just to make it more appealing to the eye, you mix it up. So you have different chart formats. Also the words, there are reading, you know, the type of learner that IKEA called out, the ones that need to read it. You could put the financial highlights right there on a dashboard if your tool permits, rather than sending it in an email. But it's really nice to have all these components together on their dashboard so they could actually see, they could see the traditional report format, the charts like you see up here, the one in the middle, applications reviewed, that's what we're referring to as a scorecard. And then financial highlights, which are sort of the words and those, what you want to call out so that they don't have to look for it in the data. Financial and non-financial data. This one I mentioned earlier, it's probably the trickiest, but financial data is, it's the obvious stuff. It's anything that comes from accounting. expenses, revenue, anything that's an asset, anything that's a liability. Your non-financial data, it's also numbers, but it doesn't come out of your traditional accounting numbers. So it's things like headcount, number of new donors, number of meals served. If you're working with, say, the homeless community, number of meals served would be a key data point. Number of students mentored, volunteer hours, and there's a million of these. But if you start thinking about how to tie in non-financial data with financial data, then you're getting to that gold standard that we're talking about. Say, for example, you have financial data on a dashboard that shows your salaries went up by 20%. Okay, why? Well, if you look at the non-financial data, the current headcount also went up. So salaries went up and headcount went up. Wait a minute, the number of new donors also went up. We had more funds available. We hired more people, and therefore our meals served went up. So it's kind of like tying all the data together by adding depth to the financial numbers and showing the different outcomes and how they were achieved with adding in the non-financial data. So you might be wondering, well, how does it get there? And that highly depends on the tool you're using and what your other processes are. The examples that we're showing today are from Sage Intacct, which is the system that we prefer for nonprofits, which does have the capability to record non-financial data as if it's an accounting entry. It's called statistical data in the system. So those of you that are in Sage Intacct, if you're not using the non-financial data features, they're called statistical data entries, look into that. It's super powerful, and it's a way to just add more depth to your dashboards and the data that you're presenting. So some of it could be entered either manually. Let's say worst case, you have the tool, you just have no way to get it in with an integration. So you have either your accounting department or somebody else enter the entries for the non-financial data as if it's accounting transactions. So let's say you hire someone, you're entering them into payroll, you can go into the system and add that headcount. So it's manual, but there are automated ways to get it in there as well. If you're, say, integrated with a CRM or a payroll system, or you work it into your workflow some other way, this is a great way to do it. If you're not in a system that lets you track non-financial data, like let's say you're leaning towards dashboards, but you have QuickBooks and maybe you're going to build them in Excel. So you can even have in that spreadsheet, you're going to create probably a workbook that lets you put in your financial data every month, and then the dashboards are automated based on formats that you put into place. Maybe you can have spots there for non-financial data too. So every month when you import the accounting records to pop into your Excel dashboards, you can have a field that's for your current headcount at the end of the month, or the number of new donors that development reported, whatever it is, and just think of ways to tie that in. So it's difficult, but it's not impossible to achieve that depending on your dashboarding methodology.
Eleanor, I thought that was really excellent and really quick. Having that non-financial data is the easiest way to be able to begin to tell the story, because they are a key driving force of why the numbers change in the first place. So excellent.
Yeah. And well, the dashboard examples that we're about to get into will have more examples of non-financial data. So the polling question that we are answering now is, how do you currently look at financial data in your organization? Are you exporting it from accounting? That's probably most people. Do you have a dynamic dashboard? I don't review data, or something else?
Well, I'm glad we're at 0% for I don't review financial data help. But it seems like the majority of the people on this webinar today are Excel users like myself.
Mm-hmm. There's no shame in exporting from Excel, as we said.
Exactly.
We just have to be practical and do what we can. There's lots of competing priorities in every organization. All right, looks like our results are in here. So most folks are exporting from Excel. We've got some using dynamic dashboards. That's probably either like in a system like Sage Intacct, or maybe they have a third-party tool or another accounting system that gives them financial dashboards that are dynamic, but that's great. Oh, I don't know if you saw those results, but I called them out. So getting into some dashboard examples, again, ours are from Sage Intacct. We also have other tools that we use because we work with organizations that use QuickBooks also. But the ones you'll see here are from Intacct. And so either you're in Intacct and you can actually use them, or maybe you could just use the data from these if you're trying to build dashboards in Excel just to get ideas. The first one here is a board member dashboard example. You could see there's still traditional number formats included. I think most board members probably would need a mix of numbers and charts, but I don't think you could get away with not showing the traditional financial reports to a board. So you include a statement of revenue and expenses. Down here it's cut off, but you have your statement of financial position, which is a balance sheet. In this statement of activity, so this report is showing the original annual budget, a mid-year recast of the annual budget, and then a year-to-date recast, which is like a projection, and then your actuals and your variances. Our dashboarding tool here highlights the negative, like the red flag variances in red. So if your expenses are over, if your revenue is under. You could also, if you're building this in Excel, you could use conditional formatting to do the same thing. It's a cool Excel feature. If you're building your dashboards in Excel, you can have Excel automatically highlight cells a certain color if they're doing something specific. And then we've got the charts. So we mixed up the components here, like we said, cash trend line, net assets, showing them that most of the net assets here are without donor restrictions. There is a small amount with donor restrictions. And then expenses broken down by program area and M&G and fundraising. That's actually often an area that's forgotten to be reported on during the year, but it's kind of interesting because that's like it becomes the most public thing when you file your audit and your 990. It's out there for the world to see on the 990. How much did you spend on program versus M&G and fundraising? So hopefully you're tracking that throughout the year, but don't forget to report on it also so that you can track it and understand like where they stand, and maybe your M&G is tracking too high and it could be just an error, like you're over allocating something or your methodology, or it could actually be that you're spending too much on M&G and you need to tweak it. But these are the types of things where if you're showing them regularly, whether it's to the board or internally, you're able to tackle an issue and tweak your spending even before you're in audit time when it might be too late. And then the scorecards at the top, when you're showing numbers to a board, the outcome we think is the most important part. So they could see not just the numbers, but what did we do? So over here we have clients served, but again, if you're serving the homeless, you would show them number of meals served or number of new homeless members, whatever your outcomes are and whatever language you use with your board, you could go ahead and throw that onto the same dashboard with the numbers so that they could see how it all ties together. Expenses being high might be okay if revenue was also high, but it's even more okay if it was funded by something and you achieved an outcome. So it's all important to show. And then again, it calls out here program fundraising admin and fundraising efficiency. Our next example here, this one is more generic, probably more of a dashboard for an executive director or even, you know, internally at an organization. So cash balance by month, we usually show this as a trend line. And again, if this wasn't a screenshot, if I was actually looking at this in our dashboarding system, I would be able to hover over these and see what numbers are there. And I could even click and pull up a detail ledger if I had a question about a specific area. But the scorecards at the top are showing key numbers. You see them down here too, but we're accommodating the readers that just want a quick glimpse, or maybe it's too overwhelming to look at the traditional numbers. So their eyeballs can go up here. Year-to-date income is 9.2 million. I have a green arrow because it's 1.3 million over budget. Year-to-date expenses are 6.3 million. Those are higher than budget. So it's a red flag to maybe look into that. monthly burn rate. That's usually a key number that you should be managing at an organization against your cash balances. I think traditionally, if you are showing these in some way, what's often forgotten is to then tie them together, because anyone looking at these will say, okay, my monthly burn rate is $500,000 and change. My cash on hand is 5.6 million. So they're kind of doing math to see how many months cash on hand do they have. In this dashboard, we just show it in another scorecard to save them that math. So it's month cash on hand. And this is where you see the dashboard is also doing math for you. So it has a formula behind this that's saying take the cash balance and divide it by the monthly burn rate. And usually dashboarding systems, if they're flexible enough, you'll be able to give it any formula that takes one number and another number and ties it together to give you a very useful piece of data. So that's an example of showing two of these separately and then months cash on hand as one quick viewpoint. Quick ratio, if this applies to you, that's current assets divided by current liabilities. If that applies to your organization, that might be a good one too. And then charts that are showing more detail than the board member one, because these are by month and they split out revenue by month and expenses by month. So this might be a really useful way to show data to, say, an executive director or a finance manager, so they could analyze it month by month and hover over and look at any detail they want to see depending on what's going on that month. And then our third example here is a very detailed fundraising dashboard. This one is a canned dashboard and intact, but it requires a lot of data in the background. If you're going to achieve something like this, most likely you have a robust CRM that tracks all of this and that also is integrated with accounting. So you could see a lot of non-financial data is tied into this one. Like average gift amount, you would need both the number of gifts, which is not something naturally tagged in an accounting system, and the gift amounts. And then you need the system to do that math to give you the average gift amount. Average donor giving, number of gifts per donor. It's almost like this is showing really useful data, but it could also be overwhelming. So you could achieve something like this and then maybe tweak it to your organization to say, okay, these are the ones we want to include up here, but we could pass on some other ones. Contributions by campaign. These are the types of things that are usually in a CRM, but either we're not so good at reporting on them or it's a report that's separate from accounting. So, which is fine, but if you want to tie it all together, you have your contributions that were shown on the revenue and expense report, the statement of activities from an accounting perspective. And then this breaks it down further, which campaigns were the ones that raised the funds? How much did we spend on each of them? I love the fundraising cost per donor metrics. Sometimes we run social media campaigns and raise a bunch of individual contributions via clicks, but how much did it cost per click? Cost per dollar donated, 22 cents. Is that good or bad? I'm not sure. But for your organization, like that might be something where finance and development can tie their numbers together and then produce a dashboard like this, which helps you raise more funds and strategize on how to fundraise better. So those were some examples. And I think there's probably different feelings here in terms of like being overwhelmed with what you would have to do to reach a dashboard like that. Or maybe some of you are already dashboarding and you just needed some ideas. But I don't want anyone to feel like it's too much and let's just go back to just having normal reports because all of that was too overwhelming. I think you could take it in different levels depending on the resources you have, both with your time and whatever talent you have. Like, can they DIY dashboards for you in-house, or would you need to hire an outside consultant or an accountant? And do you need to invest in a tool? So there's a whole range of ways to tackle this, and that's what we have up here.
I think a good place to start, Eleanor, is asking our clients what is important to them. If we know what's important to our clients, then you'll know what type of elements that you're needing to have in a dashboard format, what you need to be reporting on, and that will help inform what type of tools you're going to need to be able to achieve said dashboard.
Yeah, and sometimes that means, again, investing in a very robust third-party tool. We keep saying the gold standard. So all the way on the right here is a tool that not only is dynamic and real-time, where anyone can go in and click and see what's going on, it's also showing the future. But it doesn't just know the future. Somebody has to enter projections. So these are not tools that you can buy and they'll solve your problems. You have to actually change your workflow surrounding how the data is going to get there. And there's a breadth of tools available on the FP&A market. FP&A is financial planning and analytics. We have it up here. The definition, in case those of you don't know and you want to Google it. But these are tools that layer on top of your accounting system, and they allow you to run projections, whether it's just your budget or ongoing. Like every month you project, okay, here was our budget, but here's what we know now. Let's say the gala is not doing as well as you thought it would. Let's kick that down and then have a running projection of what is that going to do. It's going to have a ripple of effect on expenses. Like, some of those are really key things that change the way your organization is headed throughout the year. And if you're able to show that, aside from just your budget versus actual, your actual versus your budget versus your projection, super useful for decision making, for fundraising, for transparency. But for that type of analysis and visualizing, you'll probably need to invest in an FP&A tool if you haven't already. All the way on the left here, we have maybe what's more practical. If you're using QuickBooks, you're overwhelmed by the tools on the market, you're not ready to play around with them yet, just go ahead and start dashboarding in Excel is what Akia and I would do. So you have your static data, not to bash it, but you have your data from the accounting system, you export it to Excel. You spend one time building a dashboard that's going to automatically pull with formulas from the same format that you export every time. And not to get too detailed, but if you're referencing particular cells, you're probably going to have to rebuild it every time. You have to build the formulas so they're referencing labels and words, so that it knows, you know, office supplies was on row 56 last time, but now it's on row 57. Those are all things you want to account for, so that you bring it in and then Excel pops up your dashboard based on what you built in an automated way. Excel, actually, the benefit of it is that it's more flexible than the tools, because you could do whatever you want. Some of the tools, like, you'll find that they have beautiful charts, but you can't change the colors, you know, or you can't add words. But in Excel, you could do whatever you want. So that's the plus side. If you're all the way on left here, go ahead and build your dashboards in Excel and then use all the components that we showed you, where you have an executive summary at the top. Maybe then you have some scorecards that pull in every month from data that you entered on another tab. And then the charts, which if you don't know how to build charts in Excel, the help function is very useful. I use it sometimes where I forget which chart I need, and I just click on the little help function. But you could do bar graphs, they could be 3D. Again, it's all very flexible because it's Excel. And then sort of the mid here is between the Excel, that's like level one, and then the FP&A tool, which is the gold standard. If you're going to be somewhere in the middle, you probably have Sage Intacct or a similar system that allows you to dashboard within your accounting system. Or you have some sort of tool, maybe it's the same FP&A tool, where you could have dashboards, but it's just showing historical data. You don't have a workflow yet that enters your projections and your forecasts. Maybe you do it once a year, so it's not really useful to put it on a dashboard. That's okay too. I don't want to deter you from building anything just because it's historical. That would be sort of the middle level here. So either you have static historical data that you're dashboarding in Excel, Or you have dynamic historical data. It's dynamic because it's in a tool or it's in your accounting system, so the user can interact with it, but it's still just reporting on historical data. Or you have all of that, but also the future, which is the best case scenario here, where you're showing projections and where the organization is headed. And with that, we will be happy to answer questions if you put them in the Q&A. Akia, we did get a question about but what do I do with QuickBooks? So do you want to address that one?
Absolutely. I have a lot of clients who are in QuickBooks right now and have not made the migration from QuickBooks to Sage Intacct. But within QuickBooks, they have a small feature that has data visualizations. They have charts and graphs on there. They're not as robust, I would say, as a Sage Intacct, but you can actually layer a third-party tool on top of QuickBooks, like a Mardis or a Giraffe. Those softwares are really helpful for financial planning and analysis. They have budget functionality. Mardis has a lot of forecasting functionality as well, and those software are actually really great at just financial reporting in general. So that first slide that you showed that had the report, we all knew that it was a QuickBooks report just because the format of it is very noticeable. But Mardis and Giraffe also have financial reporting packages as well that are more aesthetically pleasing. So that will be to the benefit of our visual learners.
Yeah, and there's different levels of customization and so many tools on the market. If you are in QuickBooks, you can go, I think it's called the App Store. There's a button. They keep changing the name, but there's a button where you could search for third-party add-ons. And if you type in dashboards or any keyword, you'll be able to find what's out there. Mardis is one that we love, and Giraffe with a J. J-I-R-A-V we use for some of our nonprofits that are in QuickBooks. And so we recommend that you look into those. Also, if you are opting to do the Excel method, it's not ideal, but it's often used by QuickBooks organizations, and it's not as ideal as having a pretty dashboard plugin, but it's better than just the age-old financial reports. You still have an opportunity to take it to the next level. So we don't want to pretend that it's all or nothing. There's different levels here.
We still use Excel. Let's be clear. We use Excel. Excel is still an excellent tool. We understand its shortcomings with being able to project the future. So that's where your Mardis comes in. Mardis has excellent functionality and is able to handle so many different dynamic situations. But within Excel, like, it's okay to start there. You have to meet your clients where they are. They have to meet you where you are in terms of what they are looking for financial reporting and dashboard and things of that nature. So as Eleanor mentioned earlier, Excel has a lot of flexibility and functionality to be able to change things to however you want to visualize your data. And that is the benefit. But if you put a workflow in place to where you are constantly updating that information and you structure it in such a way that it is able to scale with you, then it'll work for you. But that's where the issues come when the format of the Excel spreadsheet is not structured in a way to scale. So that's when you would need to either change the structure or look into those third-party tools.
Yeah. I got another question here about the program managers. There's an organization that does not give them access to the dashboards because of sensitive information like salaries and other things. Mm-hmm. Usually there's ways to filter that out. So it's either on the user level where you say this user can only have access to, you know, these departments or these accounts, or it's on the dashboard level where you just filter out the things that should not appear on that dashboard. Certainly if you're in Intacct, That's a big benefit of Intact is that you can filter and tweak the user's settings by who should see what so that they don't have to see everything. And also most of the dashboarding tools like Martis and others, you could also make sure that not every user in there sees everything. So, you know, keep the confidential information confidential, but again, don't let it deter you.
Right. And to add to that, it's so much easier in those tools to be able to have those reports available for different user types than it is to create four or five different types of Excel dashboards to be able to show to different users within the organization.
Yeah.
Another question here, would Martis be a good addition to Sage Intacct for forecasting? Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Martis and Intacct integrate beautifully. And so even though Intacct has dashboarding in natively in Intacct, the projections and the forecasting module, it's called Sage Intacct Planning, is a little bit weaker. So we actually, for our nonprofits that are in Intacct that do projections, we use Martis for them in Intacct. And it's amazing because it integrates with every dimension in Intacct, including like multi-entities. If you have a multi-entity nonprofit environment, if you're using user-defined dimensions or any other field, it all ties in really well. So you could look into Martis for Intacct too, not just QuickBooks. Great. Well, thank you for all the questions and for joining us today. We have our emails up here and you could find them in the slide deck. We're always happy to answer questions. This topic is very fun for Akia and I. So feel free to reach out if you want to follow up on anything that we discussed, and please look out for future webinars. It's always wonderful to bring the community together and discuss these great accounting and reporting topics. So thank you all for joining and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the GRF On The Go podcast. Visit our website at grfcpa.com for more information about the services we provide, the industries we serve, or to request a quote.